Thing to bring a message. I had a real short message, really short, on God's 100 cavemen. Those are the 100 that Obadiah hid by 50 in 2 caves. But maybe some other time. But I got a warmed over message, if you don't mind. One I've had several weeks on the shelf. And it's of the old order, so it might be a little bit longer than the new order ones, but you've got to put up with that, if you will. I really looked over this thing twice today, trying to find what I was willing to take out of it, and I haven't. Lord hasn't made me willing enough yet to take out pieces of it. But I'll be as quick as I can on it. Would you stand, please? Now, Lord, add thy blessing to thy word, and cause thy word to go forth with power and anointing of the Holy Ghost. And cause your hearts to be blessed. Give me liberty in the spirit. Lead this message and this people in the name of Jesus. For thy name's sake, amen. You may be seated. Please turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. I titled the message, The Branch of the Lord. I would like you tonight to please turn very quickly, as fast as you can, to every single reference, or else don't turn at all. Just listen, because I have many references tonight, and it doesn't do any good to be hunting up while I'm reading it. If you can't find it by the time I read it, you might as well just listen. I think you'll get more out of it. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Notice the King James, they put it in a, with a capital B. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Now, do you know who he's talking about? Everybody here knows they're talking about Jesus. But I'm not quite so sure everybody here knows that it's talking about us. And I want to attempt to prove that to you tonight, that this branch of the Lord is not only talking about the Son of God, but it's talking about the sons of God. It's talking about all the sons of God who are in the Son of God, all those who are members of his body. If you would turn with me, please, to the book of John, chapter 15, verse 1. Now, there are some problems in that verse, it would appear at first glance, to have that also apply to us, but hopefully we'll remove those problems. John 15, 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. The husbandman is the one who takes care of the vineyard. Here Jesus makes a distinction between himself and his Father. He makes a distinction between the vine and the keeper of the vine. So we see that there's a distinction made between the Father and the Son. The Father takes care of the vine. The Father takes care of the Son. God doesn't take care of God. God is not planted. It is man that is planted. The Father takes care of the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus was both God and man. In verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, my sermon is the branch of the Lord. Jesus is the vine, and there are branches in Jesus. Do you know who they are? Verse 5 tells you, if you don't, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Now, all ye clean to the word which I have spoken unto you, he says in verse 3. Abide in me, the Greek is meno, remain. Remain in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide or remain in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. Now we saw that the vine was Christ, and we are the branches of Christ. But it becomes apparent that the vine cannot just be the humanity of Christ. Because he says he is clean to the word he's spoken, and of us we can abide in the humanity of Christ. The vine is the manifestation of God in Christ, who is both Lord and Christ, according to the book of Acts, 236 to 37. God has made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ, both Lord, Master, and the Anointed One. Now, the greater always anoints the lesser. As Christ, the vine as Christ, he has a heavenly Father, who, apart from Christ, is the husbandman. As deity, because he's both Lord and Christ, as deity, this vine is the life that's in the vine. The life that's in the vine is not humanity, it's God. The visible outward vine is the humanity. Now, the point is that Jesus is the vine, the deity within and the humanity without, and we are the branches with deity within. We are the branch. Proverbs 11:28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. But, now that's apropos for the last day. But the righteous, you notice how it contrasts he that trusts in riches with the righteous? But the righteous, that is he that is doing rightly, shall flourish as a branch. We are the branches, shall flourish as the branch. The righteous is the branch. The branch of what? Well, a branch always bears resemblance to the vine. The righteous are a branch of the righteous one. God, and God manifests in flesh, Christ. Speaking prophetically. Isaiah 60:21. Thy people also shall be all righteous. How do you like that? Now, this is talking about down to the end of time, both in the millennium and in the church age, in the last of time. That's what we're entering into right now. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting. We are the branch of his planting, and his planting was Christ. And he has planted us in the vine whom he has planted, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. We are the work of his hands, that God may be glorified, not us. Isaiah chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. So far we're seeing that we are the branches, right down the line. Isaiah 4, verse 2. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Now, the branch is God's people that branched off from the Lord. The branch of the Lord is not the Lord. He isn't branched off from himself. God is not a branch of anyone or anything. So the branch is referring to the saints of God. Now, it's true that the last man, the last Adam, Christ, is a branch of the Lord. That's true. And that is the first application to this. And so are all of those in the last Adam. All of those who are in the last Adam are a branch of the Lord. All the branches are a branch of the Lord. He's only got one branch, and that's through Christ. He's only got one body, and we are members of that body. He's the bread of heaven, we are one loaf, the scripture says. He's the foundation, but we all make up one building. There is one man of Ephesians, one perfect man, one man-child, but we are members of that man-child. There's only one light, but we are light. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, it says the branch comes from the root of Jesse. And that branch, as we all know, is Christ. Jesse is the father of David. And then through David, Christ. Now, it did not say here a branch of the Lord. It did not say a branch of the vine. It says a branch of the root of Jesse. But we all, with Christ, make up that branch spiritually. And when we become one with Christ, in actuality, experientially, we are now legally, we shall do what he does. We shall become the branch from the root of Jesse on earth. We are his hands, we are his feet, we are his mouth, we carry on his ministry. The works that I do shall ye do also, because I go to my Father, and greater works shall ye do. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. If God is love, you dwell in love, you dwell in God. If you dwell in love, you dwell in God, because God is love. If you remain in him, the Greek is. He that remaineth in love remaineth in God, and God in him. Now, what does that mean, to remain in God? It means to stay connected. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And in the day of judgment, you'll find you'll have perfected or matured and completed your love. Because at that time, you'll be able to have boldness in the day of judgment. And that's something. You're standing in the day of judgment, brother. And you've got boldness. You can just boldly come right up there. Oh, hallelujah. There won't be anybody playing the game at that time. Weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, shaking and heart smiting them, stricken with fear and terror, casting them out of darkness with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And the one who is a revealer of secrets and one who knows the intents of the heart. And we walk before him. We better have boldness. And that boldness, you'll never have that boldness until you become part of that man-child of Christ, until you come to a place where you know your Christ's righteousness is imputed to you, and you have your heart, you're in love with him. We can be that place. Now, as he is, so are we. That's what it says. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Why do we have boldness in that day? Because as he is, so are we. You say, oh, well, that's after you get to heaven. No, it says, in this world. In this world. So all of those people say, oh, that's when we get to heaven, are not reading straight. As he is, so are we in this world. He's going to do a job here in us. Praise God. Now, we are a branch of the Lord. That means we are the same in character. Because a branch is always the same as that which a branch is out from. As he is, so are we. In what? Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 again. Now, we could say, you know, in all things, you could preach for a few years on that one, but we'll answer it from Isaiah chapter 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. As the Spirit, as he is, so are we. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon us. The Spirit of wisdom, so shall we have the Spirit of wisdom. And understanding shall rest upon Christ, and we shall have understanding. And the Spirit of counsel, and we shall have the Spirit of counsel. And Spirit of might, and we shall have might. And the Spirit of knowledge, we shall have the Spirit of knowledge. And of the fear of the Lord, and we shall have fear of the Lord. And there'll be a lot less sinning in that day. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and so us. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither will we. Neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, shall neither shall we. As he is, so shall we be in this earth. All right, now verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with a rod, get the word rod, of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. You say, now you left me, brother. You mean you're not hearing me say, so are we anymore. But I will. Be bold enough to say, and so will we. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. I turn here not to get off of the last subject, but to prove the last point. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works, Jesus talking. Who is he that overcometh and keepeth Jesus' works? Is it Jesus? Can't be Jesus. Jesus doesn't keep his own works. He's talking to overcomers. Plural. But he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. That's the millennium. And he that overcometh, shall rule them with a rod of iron. Who's that? That's the saints. Saints are ruling with a rod of iron the nations. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. Rule with a rod of iron and break like a pot with a rod. That's exactly what it said over there about smiting the wicked with a staff, with a rod. We shall, even as I have received of my Father, even as I have received, so give I you. You shall do even as I have received, so ye shall receive. You say, but how can that be? We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ the righteous. For this cause shall a father leave his, shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. They shall become one. We shall rule and reign with him. We shall rule and reign with him. That, Father, that we may be one, that they may be one with you, with us, with one another, and with us, that we may be one with him. One. This is a great mystery. It's marvelous. We shall be rulers with him, even to the breaking of sinful nations and the raising up of the righteous, as equal heirs with him, as the wife, as the queen of Christ, who is made one with him, rules and reigns with him in that day, had him giving us the spirit of might and counsel and wisdom and understanding. And so comes to pass that scripture that the Jews never understood when Jesus said, in the law it is written, ye are gods. Ye are gods. Ye are Elohim. They didn't know what to do with that one. Most Christians today don't know what to do with that one. But they stood, and as God would give judges to Israel, man would judge as God the nation, the people. Not nations, but the people of the nation. Man would judge, and whatever he said, that went. One man judging others. My, what an awesome responsibility. That prefigures what we shall be. Paul said, what? You go out, there's utterly a fault among you. You go out among unrighteous judges, judges to get judgment between two brothers in the church? Is there not a wise one among you that is able to judge? Know ye not we shall judge angels? Fallen angels, of course. Know ye not we shall judge angels? God has given man an awesome responsibility in the place when he can become one in Christ. Far beyond what a lot of people understand. Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. Speaking of this man-child. And the woman brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness for 1,203 days, 3.5 years. Now that's not talking about Jesus. Jesus wasn't snatched up, and then Mary didn't go out into the wilderness for 3.5 years, or the dragon sent out a flood after her. That didn't happen with Christ. This man-child company is talking about those who are in Christ, who are caught up. And this man-child company rules with a rod of iron. We're going to have governmental responsibility. Jesus said, ye that are faithful with 10 talents shall rule over 10 cities. And you that are faithful with 5 shall rule over 5 cities. We're going to have a job in the millennial earth. We're not just sitting around playing harps. We've got governmental jobs to do on the earth, on the millennial earth. Responsibility and judgment. We are as he is in character, in position, in duty. Now, I'm not teaching that we'll ever be God, because we won't. But when it's no longer Christ, I, but Christ, and God rules us and reigns in us, we're not going to see us, but God. See, Peter said, brother, I see the Lord in you. I see the sweetness and the love of Jesus. I see the anointed power and the wisdom of God in you. And it's going to be so. God is going to, people are going to see God in his people. They're going to see God yet. Christ could show God one time, at one place, at a time. The scripture says we see Jesus, we see God in the face of Jesus. That's how the Greek New Testament says it. We see God in the face of Jesus. They're going to see God in the face of all of us Christians, little Christ. They're going to see God in the face of all of the sons of God who are members of Christ. And there's going to be a lot of Christ on earth. He left that there might be many more of him. And that's the work he's trying to do. A lot of Christians, they are so defunct of any vision and understanding of the plan of God and the great, fantastic will of God, and even the death blow to the beast in the last days. Something caused that death wound. You get a world government that gets really big, and it's been building now for, decades. There are a lot of power behind this world government move, this building. There's a lot of power. The devil has people over the face of the whole earth that this thing is moving. For that to have a death blow, there's going to have to be something that is not a part of that system that has fantastic power. And it's interesting that that comes when the man-child's on the scene. And then it's interesting when the man-child's gone, the death wound's healed. And the Antichrist takes over the rule for 3.5 years. If I don't miss my guess, the man-child has something to do with that death wound. And if I don't miss my guess, it's the sword of the Spirit in his hand that does it. If I don't miss my guess, that's the last great ministry and the reason for the man-child coming to perfection on earth. And God's going to steal away from the devil all those that he stole away from him. He's going to get all whosoever will to the Lord may come. There's going to be a great harvest of souls that God's raising up this army for in the last days. There's a spiritual battle. That's why the army comes up off of the valley floor. Now, Jeremiah 23:5. Now we've made the full circuit back to the verse we started out with. I've given you scriptures showing how that we are the branch of the Lord, even to the place where we rule and reign with him. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Now that branch is first in Christ, but it's also the saints of God at the last hour shall be the righteous branch that God is going to raise unto himself. Whatever he did in Christ, he's going to do in the rest of his people. He is our example. He is the last Adam, and we are part of that last Adam. He is the first perfect man God started out to make. He is the man that God designed and wanted in the beginning in Eden. But man fell and has all this time been under a schoolmaster to bring him to Christ. And now that he has brought the at-one-ment or the atonement, the reconciliation, we are workers together with Christ to finish the plan of God and the will of the Father to bring to pass this perfect man, this perfect sons of God in the last days, which is the righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper. So that's Jesus. Know ye not that the scriptures say we are kings and priests unto God? So why should we limit it just to him when we are kings? He's our great high priest, but we are priests. He's the son of God, but we are sons of God. He is the bread of heaven, but we are one loaf. He is the light, but we are lights of the world. And I could go on and on and on and on. And shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. We shall rule and reign with him. So shall we. In his days, Judah shall be saved. And Israel shall dwell safely when Christ comes back. But that's in our day too. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called Jehovah Tzidkenu, Yahweh Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Now, you say, now, brother, I'd like to see you apply that one to yourself. This branch is going to be called the Lord our righteousness. Now, that's got to be Jesus, and it surely is. It's also us. Now, if you turn with me, I'm going to prove it to you. Before I do, let me develop this a little bit more. A righteous branch is Christ and his body that become one. Jesus said, the scripture says concerning Christ, that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. That was Christ, that stone who cut out of the mountain without hands. And the stone became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That takes in all his saints. The stone became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That's the whole Christian kingdom of God. We are part of that stone as that stone grows and grows in us and through us. The scripture says, I am the light of the world and you are light. I am the water of life, but out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I am the good shepherd. But then Jeremiah 23:4 says, and I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. He is the good shepherd, I will set up shepherds over them. And we are his shepherds. He said shepherds. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now you begin to see I'm talking about some pretty fantastic things. You don't get this preaching every church you pop into down the street. These are revelations concerning the wrap-up of the ages and the plan of God. Verse 6. In his days, oh, I read that. Now, this sounds exclusive of Christ. Is it also exclusive of saints? Is there any proof that the branch also is saints? That is other than John 15:5, I am the vine and you are the branches. And other than typology, and other than analogies, and other than parables, is there any positive grammatical and textual proof? And the answer is yes. Turn to Jeremiah 33. In case you don't know, I'm reading a camp meeting sermon. Preaching. 33:15. In those days, and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness, to grow up unto David. And he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Now, who are we talking about? In those days shall Judah be saved. Isn't that the same thing said before? Another verse? Exactly, it was reading the same thing. And Jerusalem shall dwell safely, same as it said before. And this is the name whereby she shall be called. The Lord our righteousness. Yahweh Tsidkenu. She shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Now, if I don't miss my guess, it's a revelation here. And the Hebrew agrees with this. So does Rotherham, NASB, and the Hebrew Interlinear, and so forth. See, we have his name. Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, and I'll write upon him my new name. So we will have his name, the name of God, and the name of the New Jerusalem, and his new name. So we do have his name. So don't be surprised that we shall be called his name, the Lord our righteousness. We shall have upon him, upon us, his name. Chapter 2 and verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save he that receive it. Chapter 19 and verse 16. And he, speaking of Christ, hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now look at chapter 22 and verse 4. and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads.
Hallelujah.
We shall have his name. We shall be called by his name. That's not so surprising. We're married to him. There's Mrs. Burnett. Now, by what right can she bear the name Burnett? She was a Monroe. She was not a Burnett. She was not born a Burnett. But now she's called a Burnett. By what right can we be called the Lord our righteousness? We're married to him. We weren't born the Lord our righteousness, but we're marrying the Lord our righteousness. And we shall become one with him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, the scripture says. Look at Revelation 21:3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. Verse 2, I meant to read first. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. That's the same thing we've been reading about. Coming down from God out of heaven. This is not buildings now, but people. Because they're prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Now, this bride is singular, but it represents many people. Many people make up this one bride. Many people make up this one branch. Who is this bride? Let's look in verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Who's this son? He shall be my son. All these shall become one son, shall become his son. He didn't say he shall be my son, his son. Now, I thought it was called his bride. That's right. His bride is his son. We are both his bride and his son. We're his man-son. We're his man-child. We are the bride of Christ mystically and spiritually because we are united with him. We are sons of God because he is our father, has begotten us again into a lively hope. We are brought up in him. We are also his friends. We are also his servants. And also you can be his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. Because we're not talking about a physical Lord and us being physically a female bride. There'll be no male, either male nor female in heaven, but all the angels of heaven. In a spiritual sense, we can be a bride and a son, just like I am a son and a father in an actual sense, physically. Just like we can be sheep and sons at the same time. Now are we the sons of God, the scripture says. But here we become one son, my son, to be my son. That's the man-child. Now I know, he is the man-child. Now it's every individual too. I can read. I know that he that, that's in the single, shall be my son. You can have many sons that way. I know that. But I'm going to tell you that it goes further than that, and it has a double application. Not only mean he, whosoever, can be my son, but it also means he, in that day, because it's talking about him in the New Jerusalem, who's the man-child, shall be my son, the man-child. Because you've got a new heaven and a new earth, and on the new earth, the New Jerusalem, and the bride comes out of heaven to the New Jerusalem, because it's the city for the bride. Now, outside of the city, there are those who were just guests at the wedding. But inside is the man-child, and he's talking to his son who's in the New Jerusalem, which is the man-child. There's a double revelation there. Even as we see a double revelation in the bridegroom, him being both the bride and the groom. I mean, the bride and the groom mean one. We are the bride, he's the groom. But he's more than the groom. He is the bridegroom. Because we are members of here, we are the body of Christ, so he's the head and the body. He makes up one man, and we are members of that body. So he is both the body and the head. He is the bridegroom, and we are the bride. We find that over in the Song of Solomon. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. He's both the rose and the lily. Then it goes on the next verse and talks about, we are the lily of the valleys. We are the lily and he's the lily. Because he also is a lily among thorns. He also is a man. You see, we see the humanity of Christ and the identification, being made like unto his brethren, born under the law, married to him as the Son of God. Now are we the sons of God. Romans 8:29. Let's look at this revelation. For whom he did foreknow, see, God foreknows whether you will or won't, he also did predestinate, or means mark out ahead of time. Now, he didn't say he foreknew those he predestinated. Like Dr. DeHaan says, that's twisting scripture. It says, for those he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. He foreknew you first, and then foreknowing, he did mark out those that he knew would. Not that he knew those he predestinated. No, no. But he marked out or predestinated those he foreknew. That's why he can say, whosoever will, the Lord may come. He foreknows, and then he calls and marks out those that he foreknows. Now, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, we are to be conformed unto the image of his Son, under the same mold, cast in the same mold, and formed into that same image so it looks the same, but we are to be, and we are to be not only conformed into his image, but to be the firstborn among many brethren in the last days, even as he was the firstborn among many brethren back at his time, from that point on. He was the firstborn. And we, the man-child, in the last day shall be the firstborn among many brethren. Also a double revelation there. Galatians 1:15. But if the Spirit leads you, you'll find out that you got to chop out some of your interpretations and dogmatics, because you find out the way the Scripture applies it, you find out it's greater than you thought it was. And I tell you, the more I read this Word, and the more I find God leading me in it by the Spirit, the more I come to the understanding what it means to be in Christ and how great is our inheritance and what great things God is doing for his people. And it's not just a come-to-church thing. This is the wrath of the ages for the very purpose for which God made the universe, and he's not going to fail in it. And the church shall go out with glory and power and righteousness. Be ye perfect even as I am perfect was not just something that nobody can do. He made a command because it is possible. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Do he wants to reveal his Son in us? He didn't say to us. He said in us. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He did too. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But he said, not I, but Christ liveth in me. See, we ought to have Christ living in us. Chapter 4 and verse 6. And because you're your sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now the Son can say, Abba, Father, but now He's taking us and sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts that we can feel that He's our Father and say, Abba, Father, just like Him, the Son of God. So now, behold, we are the sons of God. Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Not blessed be unity in diversity. I'm going to beat that one to death all the way to the end. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. You say, I just mean to know Him. Oh, no. Because it says, unto a perfect man. Unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What measure? Oh, we have a little measure. Measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. Now, brother, that's a lot of big thinking coming from a big God. Who is man that thou art mindful of Him? Or the Son of Man that thou visitest Him, thou made Him for a little while inferior to the Elohim. But the Hebrew says, a little while inferior to the Elohim. Know ye not that ye are Elohim? Now, brother, you've got to put all this together. It's got to mean something. You can't just sweep it off the table. This is the revelation of God that once you get a hold of it, brother, you want to get your life cleaned up, live for Jesus, love Him, and be a part of the great wrap-up plan of the end. And to get you out of that, hold on to the rope, hold the fort, for I am coming, for you know the thing, and just hold on in your deadness till He finally comes and takes you away. It's no wonder people are giving up the rapture. They cannot believe God thinks it's a dead church out. You're going to have to beat them all to death in the tribulation or something. But I tell you, God's got a people who are going to end up like Christ saying, I have finished the work Thou gavest me to do, and now, Father, I'm no longer in the world. I come to Thee. Here we see the mystery of the sonship, the mystery of the bridegroom, the mystery of Christ, the anointed one. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. Give me another minute to find it. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now we read about judged with wisdom and so forth, and righteousness. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Here He says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. How can you glory in the Lord? Because we have His glory in us. But it's His glory. The pot's got the gold. So the pot can brag on the gold, but not on the pot. Now it's true that God says, my glory will I not give to another. But we are not another. This is a great mystery. We are one with Him. We are not another. His glory He will not give to another. But we are not another. We are members of His body, one loaf. And we shall have His glory. And His name shall be the Lord our righteousness, and it shall be upon us. Because on us, when we walk, it shall be, and on the millennial earth as well, here shall come down the street the Lord our righteousness. He'll come Mike Saban walking along with the Lord our righteousness. He'll come Kathy back and there'll be the Lord our righteousness. Because it'll be no longer us, but the Lord our righteousness. Hallelujah. He's the author and finisher of our faith. If he that begun a good work in us will complete it. He'll complete it until that day. He will complete it. He will complete it. He will complete it. So we've got a long ways to go. Well, he can really travel when he gets ready to. Look, the world came when blundered along for 4,000 years. All of a sudden, a man-child was born. And all of a sudden, the whole economy changes. The old covenant's put away and the new covenant's in force. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost falls. I mean, God can do things. People being raised from the dead. Now, here you are, you know, shuffling people out to get them in the shadow of Peter. Let's hope the shadow falls on them to be raised. But I mean, you got power, you know, when people are lining up to get your shadow on them. But I'm telling you something. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. We had, this was the early rain back in those days. He said, I'll send you the early rain and the latter rain in the harvest month. Both in the harvest month. 1 month in the first month. This is the harvest month. Now, we're not only going to have the former rain, but the former rain and the latter rain. The latter rain is the great deluging rain. Much greater than they had back in the day of Pentecost. That won't hold a candle to what God has for his people. We're going to have to say, get you down, there comes the sound of abundance of rain. And brother, the rain shall fall. And you read what God says about the rain falling. He says, it'll come up with a spring up as grass in the field. He said, the reapers shall overtake the plowman. Be reaping up. And I've got to get up and put up your plow. He said, hurry up. I'm reaping. You don't have time. And then it says, the plowman shall overtake the reaper. He come up and says, hurry up. I'm plowing for some more. Now, if that doesn't tell me that God's going to do a great work and bring in a lot of people, I don't know what it's saying. And who do you think these people are? Dead, dull people? God gave a great, Jesus gave a commission to the church. And he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. For you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So what did the church do? He never told them to keep his birth, so they went out and kept his birth. He never said to keep his death, so they went out and kept his death. He said, tarry until you be endued with power from on high, so they didn't do it. That's what the church did. And they have, the world has entangled them because they have not been filled with the power of God and walked in it. But he's going to have a people that will in the last days. But you say, you look out and you say, but is it possible? Can these bones live? I looked out in the great valley, and lo, they were very many bones, and they were very dry. And the angel said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? But the Lord said, he said, Lord, thou knowest. I'm afraid to say yes. That was a safe answer. Never saw one. He says, you prophesy to those bones, and you tell them, thus saith the word of the Lord, bones, you live. Whew, that's a big vision. Yeah, it's called the vision of the valley of dry bones. And he saw the bones begin to come together, and sinew, and muscle, and skin, and God breathed into them the breath of life, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. What's a great army for, but to go out and deal a death blow to the beast head, do a battle. He breathed the breath of life into him. Those dead bones lived. A lot of you were dead, dead, dead bones that are now getting some life in you, putting some muscle on you. Don't say it cannot be done by the looking of your eyes, lest you be like the man when they were in the uttermost famine in Samaria, because the Syrians had encompassed about them until they were shutting off the city, until they were selling an ass's head for a super high amount. You had to be wealthy to get an ass's head. And you had to be fairly wealthy to get a couple of quarts of dove's dung. And some were even killing the babies and eating them. And then the prophecy said, wheat and barley shall sell for pittance. in the gates of Jerusalem about this time tomorrow. And one man looked after the seeing of his eyes, and he said, if the Lord made windows in heaven, could this thing be? And he said, because you have heard the word of the Lord and have not believed it, because you have not seen it with your eyes, you shall see this with your eyes, but you shall not be a partaker. And God caused his breath to blow in the top of the trees where the Syrians were camped, and it sounded like 10,000 chariots coming over the hill. And they said, they've hired the Egyptians to come after us. And they took off and fled. It was God's breath in the treetops. And a couple of lepers said, we're dying. We might as well go in the camp of the Syrians. They kill us, so they kill us. And if we eat, so at least we're alive. Well, here we're going to die anyway. They went in there, and there they found food, raiment, gold. And after they made themselves full on it, they said, we better get back and tell the rest. And they went back, and they began lugging that stuff in. And about noon, about that same time the next day, they were selling wheat and barley for about the same price that he'd predicted. And the man stood there who said, if God made windows of the heaven, would such a thing be? He stood there and watched them run in the gate and trample them over, and he died. He saw it, but did not partake of it, just like the prophet said. Do not say, can this thing be? We are children of the day who are waiting. He's coming for those who are looking and waiting and watching for his appearance. He's not looking for those that are not watching and waiting. Beware of, oh, well, if he comes, I'll go anyway. No, you won't. He's looking for those that watch and wait. If you do not have that faith, you shall not receive it. I wouldn't take that other doctrine for all the tea in China. That's an unsafe doctrine as far as I'm concerned. It's too clear in the scriptures. And if you're here tonight and you don't think the out translation is clear, I would like you to listen to my series of tapes where I prove that the word rapture is in the Bible many places, and I prove to you the rapture beyond all possible. These people are giving it up, just don't know the word well enough. That's their problem. If they knew the word like I did, they wouldn't do that. I'm not saying it's a brag. I am saying this as a convincer. Some people don't misunderstand me. They say, oh, you're just trying to brag. I do not feel bragging at all. I just feel to put all the power of convincing that I can, because I want to save some people, get people into the truth. And that's my heart, and that's the way I feel when I make those kind of statements. I know I'm misunderstood, but that's my heart. It's like a lawyer to try to make the case so strong that will convince people and get them into it. I'm challenging you. If you don't believe in the rapture, you take out those tapes and you listen to them. You'll hear arguments you've never heard any place in this nation. Because I know all my life I've never heard those arguments. But God's given me that understanding. And I proved in that. One brother came to me and said, I didn't know how you were going to ever prove, brother, that the rapture is in the Bible lots of places. He said, that one I didn't know, but you did it. And I didn't have to twist a thing to do it. It's the only logical course. It's the only reasonable interpretation. And you can come to no other unless you're close-minded. If you listen, you'll see that it is everywhere. And it's very clearly taught. Now, I'm about ready here to close this off if I can. My glory I will not give to another. And I wanted to read Isaiah 60. Verses 1 and 2. Now, but we are not another. Will we receive his glory? He said, well, I don't believe we're going to get his glory. I don't believe that we can just say he's not another like that. I think you have to have a scripture. I got a scripture. I always get a scripture. Arise! Shine! For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness of people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. His glory he'll not give to another, but he will give to us because we're not another. We have put on Christ. We are growing up into Christ. We are one with Christ. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. No longer I, but Christ. The revelation of the mystery to be revealed in the last days is the oneness of Christ in his body. This is the last prayer that Christ prayed. And this is the purpose of Christ, for we shall be like him, but we shall see him as he is. The branch equals Christ and his branch members. Many branches become one branch. And now, in closing, I want to bring to you what it means to be a branch. to be a branch. I'll let you all stand a moment. Rest your position. What it means to be a branch simply is this. One, you are connected, or you could not be a branch. This speaks of identification. A branch is identified by what it's connected with. And we ought to have an identification with Jesus Christ if we are to be his branch and remain in him. Number two, we ought to be of the same substance. The branch is the same substance of the tree or the vine that it's connected to. We ought to be of the same substance as him, spiritually speaking. He's making us into his likeness, into his image. Number three, we are to have the same life in us. The branch has the same life as the vine. We are to have his life flowing through us. Fourth, we are to be subservient. The branch is subservient to the tree that it's on, or subservient to the vine. It is a lesser member, branching out from it. The other came first. We are a lesser member than Christ, and we should not forget it. And that does not contradict what I just got through preaching about the great mercy and love of God that has made us one with him. Because even though we become one as a wife with her husband, yet the husband is the head. And even as the queen rules with the king, when the queen says go, they servants run as fast as the king, because when the queen says go, it's the king's word that said go through the queen. But kings can dispose queens. The king is still over the queen, and he'll always be over us. Fifthly, we are a branch for a reason. A branch comes off for a reason. And that's so that the vine may extend itself and bear more fruit than it could if it didn't have branches. And sixthly, we are branched because we share, as a branch, we share with the vine. And we share with other branches who are on the vine. We share the same thing as the other branches do. We all share the same thing, and we also share with the vine. Now, you may be seated. Now, if we do not produce, what happens? If you do not produce, we will become withered. And if you become withered, you'll be unlike the vine that's not withered. Have you ever seen a vine and a little withered branch come off? It's unlike it. But a live branch is like it. Number two, and it'll be cut off. They always prune off the withered ones. Any fruit in me, that branch that beareth not fruit, ye pruneth, it says. Now, if we do not produce, we will become without fruit. Right? If we don't produce, we'll become, and we wither, we'll become without fruit. And if we wither and become without fruit, we'll not be like the vine which is fruitful. And then we become brittle. And if we become brittle, we are unlike the vine, unlike Christ. And then we'll become dead, and we'll be unlike Christ, full of life, unlike the vine which has got life. And then when you're dead, you cannot resist or overcome the attacks made upon it by these foreign invaders and attackers, the insects that come in and get right into the dead branches. They can't resist it. The live branches have a life-giving sap that rushes up and begins to resist it and heal over what's been eaten and so forth and keep it alive. But the dead branches cannot fight against the foreign invaders. These demonic invaders that come in. When you begin to die, you lose your ability. You have to have that life-giving sap or power, life coming through you to rush out and heal over the bee stings, heal over the cuts, the broken-down branches, the cutting of the beetles, the gnawing, and all the rest that's going on, to heal it so then you can go out and produce some more branches beyond that. And you survive those attacks of the enemy. But if you're dead, they just get you all wormy, eaten up, and the slightest wind, you crack and fall off. You'll either break, or the husband's going to come along and cut you off, one of the two. Jesus said, even now the axe is laid at the root of the tree. I'm going to dumb around it one more year. If it produces, well, but if it doesn't, I'm going to cut it down. If it cumbers the ground, and it cumbers the church, unless you're producing. He'll give you his spirit for one more year, but as it were. But if you do not produce, you'll have to put the axe to you because you cumber the ground. My friends, you're going to either be cut off, or you'll break off, wither away, backslide, or you'll produce. But you have to have life And you can't go lifeless too long. As the root and the vine grow, so the branches grow. I'm going to give you one example and then close. I'll close. I'm going to give you an example of my folks rhododendron. Do you know how big that rhododendron is? I'm going to let you guess. How many think it's 5 foot in diameter? How many think it's 6, 7, 8? Raise your hand. 9, 10, 10 feet. How big do you think it gets? 12, 14? Is anybody going to believe 15, 16? You believe it's for 17 or more? I'm not sure the exact size, but I can estimate. It's probably about 25 feet. The branches are about that big around. That's a rhododendron, if you please. About that big around, not an oak tree. But a big hill that was planted in about the 1890s. And it covers, it says the hill, back from the sidewalk. If you cut the branches, you can walk clear back up under the, in the rock, they clear back up underneath the branches. It gets so big they have to cut it back so people can cross the sidewalk. That's way out from it. It's enormous. Up in a high hill, it goes clear on out and down on the sidewalk. I've never seen a rhododendron like that. But I think it's a spiritual lesson here. A branch can grow and grow so huge. And all that comes from a tiny seed. It once wasn't that big. It never knew it could get that big. But it did. And we will in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.